President Obama has rejected plans for the Keystone XL pipeline after a seven-year review process. Here's his announcement on the decision this morning.
This morning, Secretary Kerry informed me that after extensive public outreach and consultation with other cabinet agencies, the State Department has decided that the Keystone XL pipeline would not serve the national interests of the United States. I agree with that decision.
The proposed pipeline would have carried 800,000 barrels of oil a day, nearly 1,200 miles from Canada to the Gulf Coast. It's been a major point of contention in the broader debate about energy, the climate, and the economy.
The president's decision also comes less than a month before a major summit in Paris focused on fighting climate change and global warming.
Alana Shore joins us now. She's an energy reporter for Politico. Alana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So a long-awaited decision. Was it a surprise that we heard this decision today?
Absolutely not. The president has signaled for months that he intends to reject this pipeline. What today was just doing this at the best possible time for his climate change agenda. He's about to go to United Nations talks in Paris at the end of the month, and it really strengthened his ability to get other nations on board for a big deal.
So that's to an international audience. How did he make the case on this decision to the domestic audience here at home?
Well, what Paris is all about, it sounds international, but it's really about American climate change progress. It's sort of in line with what the president has been talking about through his EPA rules for power plants, trying to cut U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. It's all part of recognizing that climate change is a global issue, and he wants to get serious about it from America's perspective as one of the world's biggest emitters. What he also did was he kind of gave a stiff arm to a lot of pro-Keystone forces, talk of major job creation and major positive impacts on gasoline prices, because, to be frank, the State Department's own review didn't find much evidence of that.
I'm wondering why Keystone, because some people have observed, as you just said, there will be jobs or would be jobs, but not that many jobs in the scope of things. There will be an environmental impact, but there are other things that have bigger environmental impacts. Why did this pipeline proposal become such a topic, such a hot topic in this debate?
Well, we're about to run a pretty book-length magnum opus on Politico about this, but I'll try to summarize it in one sentence, and that is, the environmental movement was licking its wounds 5 years ago after it lost what we call the cap-and-trade fight in Washington, basically a really arcane climate change bill that would have done a lot of what the president is now doing through regulation. So when environmentalists lost 5 years ago, they regrouped and they thought, you know, like, we need to pick a fight we can really win. And Keystone ended up being that fight. People think of the environmental movement in America as kind of dead since the 60s and 70s, but they have gotten a huge shot in the arm today.
Talking to Alana Shore with Politico about today's announcement that the Keystone XL pipeline is off, done, well, at least for now. Well, what does this mean for the political presidential debate? Republican candidates all rallied in favor of Keystone so far in the campaign. Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton, in some cases, an awkward position because there are Democrats who supported this plan. Where does it go now?
Well, I hate to tell your listeners who are probably kind of tired of hearing about this, but I think it'll come back in a big way in the general election next year because, as you pointed out, you've got diametrically opposed parties now that Hillary Clinton is out against Keystone. Every Democrat is against it, and every Republican thinks the president just made a huge mistake. So I think you'll hear a lot of the same arguments you heard in 2012 and 2014, because the truth is, the issues this pipeline symbolized, even though it was just one project, namely energy independence, you know, moving off of oil, foreign imports, are going to stay live. So we're going to keep talking about this.
One criticism of this decision has been, hey, this oil is up there in Canada, the tar sands. Doesn't mean it's not going to be tapped. It doesn't mean it's not going to be exploited and ultimately used. It could just go somewhere else. Is that maybe the end result of this?
I wouldn't be so quick to say that anymore, and that's just because of what's happening with oil prices. No one on Wall Street expects oil to get back to the $100 a barrel price it was a year and a half ago, and even $80 seems like a dream at this point. And the fact about that heavy oil in Canada is that it's really expensive to produce. So if we're going to see prices depressed, we're going to see the Canadian economy suffer and not as much of that oil coming out of the ground. But that doesn't have a lot to do with Keystone, actually. It's really just economics.
I've seen another economic argument today along the lines of, hey, there's a structural change going on in the way we use oil, especially maybe here in the United States and Europe. Gradually, cars are becoming more energy efficient, trucks too. The demand maybe isn't going to keep going up and up and up like it has in the past.
Well, I mean, I think that's another piece of this, and that's another factor external to Washington that really swung in environmentalist favor. You know, they ran a savvy political campaign. They know how to tweet and stage a protest, but fundamentally, they lucked into a really favorable economic environment to say no to this heavy oil. Back when oil was so expensive 4 years ago, back when gas prices were above $3.50 a gallon, this would have been way harder to say no to.
I want to turn to the wider issues around climate change and listen to the president. This is, again, in his announcement today, saying this is about being a leader in taking on climate change.
America is now a global leader when it comes to taking serious action to fight climate change. And frankly, approving this project would have undercut that global leadership.
Climate change, a debate in Washington, maybe more so than in any other country. There's a debate over whether climate change is a thing at all in the first place. Is this a stronger action than we've seen on a climate change related issue in recent years in Washington?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be clear. You know, science shows that the climate is changing, and what people are really debating is the impact that human activity has on that. So, I mean, the president has clearly put all his chips on the environmentalist dime, you know, and he's just making a big bet that history will sort of vindicate his approach. Obviously, Republicans think that's extremely foolish and that human activity is questionable how significantly it impacts the climate. But, you know, we talk about Paris, and it's easy for Americans and Wisconsinites to think, oh, what do I care? But the truth is that, you know, India, China, America are all trying to step up, you know, within the limits of their own internal politics. And I think the degree to which people care about that just depends on the degree to which you believe in the science. So we've got a lot of many debates here just converging on this pipeline.
Looking at this meeting in Paris, a lot of observers have been underwhelmed by international agreements related to climate change in the past. Is there a sense, is there momentum that something significant is going to come out of this?
Well, there are arguments on both sides of that. The first one is that, you know, most scientists working on this issue say we've got to keep temperature rises to about 2 degrees Celsius, you know, which is just a fancy way of saying there's a tipping point, right? And the commitments that nations around the world, including China and India, have made ahead of Paris get us to about 2.7. That is short of what scientists tell us we need to do. You can look at that and say, well, it's bound to be a failure. That said, the very fact that you've got America, India, and China, the biggest emitters in the world, coming to the table and really willing to rein in their industry's emissions, that's never happened before. So the previous skepticism has to be thrown out the window to a certain extent.
You mentioned earlier that this decision might in part be an effort to show the United States is serious on climate change going into this meeting. Do you think that message will be heard by China, India, and other countries that, hey, the U.S. Has thrown a big chip into the bucket here? Maybe we should, too.
I think they'll hear it. Whether that makes their bids going into Paris, which starts in just a couple weeks, any stronger than they already are, that's questionable.
Alana, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was energy reporter Alana Shore with Politico, bringing us up to speed on President Obama's decision today to reject plans for the Keystone XL oil pipeline.